Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of The Flashcast, an unofficial podcast of the CW's The Flash. I'm Steven Bueno.
Cristian Cabrera.
If you're new to the podcast, what we do is discuss every week's episode of The Flash. So this week, we're going to be talking about Season 2, Episode 16, Trajectory. Now, this episode was interesting in that we get our first taste of someone without a speed force using Velocity 9. So I think prior to this, we see Jay Garrick, and we hear about Velocity 9 from, or at least the Velocity drug. Mm-hmm. We hear about it from Jay Garrick, and we see the effects it has on him, but he already had the Speed Force. So we see the effect of someone, you know, with speedster powers. Now, that's the first time we see it on someone that didn't have that at all. So it just shows you that the drug can give someone without powers the power, the ability to use the Speed Force.
Yeah, Eliza Harmon, who's actually Trajectory in the comic books. I'll get to that later. But yeah, she exhibits a weird behavior from when she gets Velocity 9. And for it being a synthesized stimulant drug to pretty much inherit the Speed Force and make it better, she suffers from weird dependency on it, as you can see, and you can tell it's kind of bringing out like a second personality out of her.
That's one thing I was kind of wondering though, is if the split personality was like there beforehand, or was it like a side effect of the drug? I wasn't particularly clear on that, because it could have just been initial curiosity that led her to take it. Mm-hmm. Because I always kind of wondered, like, was she kind of a little off beforehand? Obviously, taking Velocity 9 pushed her over the edge, but was there already something there?
You never know. She was one of those quiet girls. You can see that she wasn't just in the lab working a lot, so it could be that she might have been considered like an outcast the entire time. So with that, pretty much push her over the edge to be like, well, I have the power now, so I can do what I wanted to do.
The way they introduce her the first time is at the nightclub. Now, that was an interesting scene in that it's one of the first times that the group decides, you know what, let's kick back a little bit. Let's forget about what's been going on and what's been keeping us down. And Cisco's the one that recommends, like, let's go to the club, which I found kind of weird. The characters don't seem like people that are going to be like, you know what, we need some downtime. Clubbing it. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, I can't find any other thing that they would do for downtime if you think about it as well.
True. Like, I can't see an alternative. I just thought it would, like, the idea of going to the club, I was like, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, because they've already been to the coffee shop a few times, so it's there all the time, or a big belly burger, which is, like, another thing they usually do. But, yeah, a club out of nowhere, it just seems different.
Yeah, and it was pretty cool seeing Jesse kind of, like, interact with everyone.
It's different, yeah, because we see her as Dr. Wells' daughter, but we don't know anything actually about her, which is weird to say.
True. Aside from her interaction with, like, obviously her dad and how it went with Zoom and stuff like that, we've never really seen her interact normally, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I guess to an extent, this is her way of getting adjusted to, I mean, her new home, because she's kind of stuck there for now.
Yeah, it's cool. She has interactions with everybody. And then, of course, Harrison Wells makes her wear the freaking watch.
The metahuman detecting watch?
Yeah.
Which keeps going off while they're in the club. It's got to be freaking annoying.
It got annoying. That's why she was talking with Wally for a little bit. It started going off. And then, well, everyone's there. But the distance between everybody, it was weird. Because even though Barry was probably next to her, but it was still going off constantly, so it can't just be him and Cisco that's always going off on. There might have been something there, but I think that could have also led to probably figuring out that their trajectory was probably nearby. You never know.
I thought about that too, and that there might have been that. Mm-hmm. One thing that happens while they're at the club is she discovers, I found it interesting because I made a comment to you, where she hacks the watch with the hairpin, essentially. Mm-hmm. And that brings out the recordings that Harrison Wells did while he was working for Zoom. And, you know, Jesse has a hard time kind of dealing with the idea that her dad would, I guess, be a bad person. But I understand where Wells is coming from, though. He's trying to do whatever he can to get her back. It's just that, you know, it lends itself to that debate of like, okay, I get it. You're trying to do this for me, but I don't want you to do these horrible things in the name of saving me.
Mm-hmm. It just sees that she kind of sees that he's a monster.
That he can be, you know?
Yeah. He's not the person that she remembers, but the fact that he would go through extraordinary lengths to pretty much keep the people around him safe, even if it means destroying people around him to get through his goal.
Throughout the whole series, and, you know, obviously since they introduced this particular Wells, the most important thing to him has always been Jesse, man. Like, it's been on the forefront of his mind. His motivations have always been her. So to see her sort of reject him and you know, treat him coldly, essentially, it's kind of, you know, it's difficult to watch because you're, to an extent, you're kind of rooting for this Harrison Wells.
Yeah, it's one of those few times where, like, we know why he's doing all this. We do know why. And it is for the name of justice, but at the same time, it's kind of anarchy in the same time. But when she just pretty much goes like, well, I had it. Like, I'm just going to leave. And it sucks because, like, she gets reunited finally with her dad. His dad is actually happy that she's back. And now she's gone.
Yeah, that sort of closes out her story throughout the episode, and that she's trying to, I think, at the end of the day, she's trying to fit into where she is in this new world because she just got ripped from her life. Mm-hmm. And not just like her life, but her world, everything she knows. So all her history, all that she's ever learned, really, like, it's all warped a little bit and it's all changed a bit. Mm-hmm. So she's trying to get accustomed to her new home. And I think that it's great that she decides on her own to branch out. Obviously, Wells isn't particularly a big fan of that idea, but it just makes you think, okay, as she goes and branches out, what is she going to learn? Who is she going to find when she's out there? Because I feel that that's going to be an opportunity for the writers to introduce new characters through her.
Yeah, it's kind of pushing forward that she's going to travel around the entire, well, I won't say the continent probably. She wants to find what she is, what's going to be her purpose here. Now, this is one of those few times where we actually see where a character actually has to leave just to find a purpose while everyone else stays there and they figure out their own purpose there. So she is a little bit different from everyone else, even though she's technically the smartest one, I think, out of all of them. I'm going to say that.
You know, it's funny that's a very common thing within the female characters of The Flash because, you know, Patty did this the exact same thing. Once, you know, things didn't pan out and she kind of left to pursue her career, you know, pursue the things she wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then her, she's just trying to figure out, like, if this world is actually, like, worth being here, I'm gonna say that for now, or is there anything that I can have here that's the same as my other world that I can actually find comfort in?
Yeah, and through her, I liked those sort of questions she kind of posed for herself, and the overall kind of questions that she posed for Harrison Wells of, like, at the end of the day, is it, you know, is that whole by any means necessary mentality really beneficial?
It's gonna take some time for her to realize if what he's doing is actually was justified, but the thing is, she doesn't really know the means to why he was doing it, because he just listens to the recordings. He's trying to explain some things, but she just doesn't want to hear it, and that's essentially why she just probably just picked up and left.
Now, so one of the greatest things about Trajectory was how it made Flash look. And that while everyone praises Flash and everyone sort of accepted Flash, no one ever talks about how potentially dangerous he can be, which I find interesting because there has already been two speedsters, one that made a very public appearance demonstrating just how dangerous a speedster can be, but yet everyone sort of looks at the Flash and is like, no, he's cool, and he will always remain cool. So this is one of the first times that comes into question. So Scott Evans, the new editor of the newspaper where Iris works, he decides that he's going to publish a piece and he wants Iris to write a piece about how dangerous the Flash really is. Now, while, you know, obviously we see everything from Barry's point of view and we see everything that's happening with him, we know that that's unjustified. But if you look at it from the editor's point of view, is it really, though? Like, should people be asking those kind of questions?
See, he thinks outside the box, which I think is pretty much crucial when it comes to that line of work. Because they're just writing puff pieces after puff piece. That's exactly what he told Iris too. It's like, oh, you're writing a puff piece about the Flash, like how he saved like this many people, but do we really know how dangerous he can be? Like, do we? Like, I want people to know that there is a danger out there. That's why the attack that happened on the club, all the robberies, everything that's broken in the city, he just blamed it all on the Flash because he just assumed it was the Flash that did it.
And, you know, it's one of those things that they don't know about other speedsters mm-hmm. necessarily, or they don't know that that there's other people that can do this. So it makes perfect sense that the Flash one day just, you know, lost his mind and decided, hey, I'm just going to do whatever the hell I want because there really isn't anybody to stop me. And that's why I liked the editor character, you know, Scott Evans, because he did pose those questions that no one's really asking and that no one seems to think about all too much. Because like I said, they've already encountered the Reverse Flash. So there's got to be some sort of anti-speedster sentiment. So now with Trajectory, I would really like for them to push that a little more in that, you know, the Flash finds conflict within those he's trying to help.
Yeah, the Speed Force is one of those things where it's really difficult to actually understand. And the thing is, the people here don't know how dangerous it can actually be. It's just the fact that they've only really encountered two main speedsters, but one was pretty much dominant for like a split second, while this one actually started terrorizing the city. Now, do people really need to know? Perhaps, because a curiosity will strike. Is like, well, if out of nowhere there's another speedster just came around, was there another chance of another one comes around? So what if that one's just as dangerous or even worse?
True. And it's nice to think that everyone sort of trusts Barry and trusts the Flash to solve all of life's problems. But I honestly, in the show, would like to see the anti-metahuman task force become a bit more of a threat.
Yeah, because the two main people, which is Joe and Patty, but Patty's already gone, and all left is Joe. There really isn't that much for the actual task force to just break out, because there really is nobody else that wants to just jump in and say, yeah, I want to do it.
It's kind of all left up to Barry, and that's why I like Trajectory so much, because she did bring that subject up a bit. Don't get me wrong, it wasn't a huge plot point in the episode, but I just like that that's a conversation that's being had in the show at any given point.
But the one of the main plot points to it, though, was the fact that Caitlin actually tells everybody that she gave some little samples to one of her friends, who is Eliza Harmon, who works for the actual Mercury Labs, to pretty much like, oh, can you help actually figure something out, to synthesize something?
Mercury Labs has been consistently coming up within this season. It's been over and over and over again. We've been hearing about Mercury Labs and Mercury Labs and Mercury Labs. So I do believe that there's gonna be a time where it's gonna come to the forefront a bit more.
It's gonna probably show that there's some sort of diabolical thing that's happening there, because the first thing that popped up was the tachyon device that they were making, and that's pretty much what helped the Reverse Flash get stronger and better. Now they're synthesizing Velocity 9 right in that lab, which is actually hush-hush because she's the only one that knows about that it's there.
Now, you know, with Wally working on all these things for speed-wise, do you think that he might eventually start working at Mercury Labs, that there might be some sort of way that's going to be written in there where Wally's going to go to Mercury Labs, he's going to be some sort of assistant, he's going to be doing something there, and because of all the things that they have already been doing that relate to the Speed Force, mm-hmm. that's how he'll get his power?
That's the thing, is I don't know yet, because it's really still it's still really a little bit of ways until like towards the end, but there could be a possibility. Like, he was working on something to help increase speed, which is like a turbine that he was creating.
Yeah, when Barry was like kind of halfway helping him, I guess.
Yeah, and you never know, that might catch the attention of somebody, and eventually he might actually do something with it, which we don't know yet. That's the only thing. But there might be a possibility he's going to be a gigantic role in the following episodes to come.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in seeing more Wally and where Wally goes. Now, one of the other big kind of issues or big plot devices throughout the episode was Jay Garrick's helmet. Now, in the previous episode, it was revealed that Jay Garrick was Zoom, And it was also, they also made this sort of monument. Barry had this like great speech when it came to honoring, you know, who Jay Garrick was, because they saw him essentially die. And every time Cisco gets close to that little monument or in Jay's helmet, he starts having visions of or vibes of Zoom. So throughout the episode, we're kind of seeing these. Now, eventually, you know, Barry breaks the case open, gives it to Cisco, and the team learns that Jay Garrick the whole time was Zoom.
That's the first time that they actually found out that at Zoom, and it just devastated everybody. And it's insane to see how everyone's reactions were. Cisco's was low, and he just was no, just drops the helmet. Barry just looks in disbelief. I'm like, and I can tell that look on his face because he knows that he was betrayed before, and he found that he's getting betrayed again.
Now, just it keeps happening to the poor guy. And it's sort of like every mentor he has is going to backstab him at one point. The only one that hasn't is Joe. That seems to be the only mentor he's ever had that hasn't betrayed him at any given point.
Nah, Joe will never do it. He's too green. He's no way he's ever going to betray anybody.
And so, you know, we have that whole closing out scene with Zoom. Now, another thing that it was a cool little Zoom reference was when Trajectory takes the Velocity 9. So she breaks into Star Labs and essentially steals the rest of it because her alter ego kind of forces her to do so. And you could tell she's faster than Barry. There's no way around it. She's definitely stronger. She's definitely faster. And it shows you that if Barry were to take Velocity 9, there's a good chance he'd be super speed. Yeah. Much more super sped up than he is already. And, you know, she takes essentially a double dose of it.
Yeah, she kind of goes a little overboard because after the fight that she has with Barry, and then she's kind of already worn out, she feels that she needs to, like, inject the last vial that they pretty much had. And so, out of nowhere, he's like, you don't do it. This is where I actually felt that they were trying to teach people something when they were watching this. It shows you that there's that drug addiction is very, very bad, and it's showing what it could do to people. And it destroyed her, which is one of those
things. It quite literally destroyed her.
Yeah, this is one of those times where I said it to many people. When I watched this episode, I'm like, I kind of learned something from this. And it's one of those like after school specials, but they put it into an episode.
Yeah, I kind of did feel like that to an extent.
Yeah, because you can also see it too, because Barry was also holding a vial too. He was inside the room where the speed cannon was. And Dr. Wells is like, you don't have to do that. You know, you don't have to do that. Like, if you do that, you're going to go into a road where you're never going to come back from. And that's essentially like another thing of drug addiction, which is actually pretty cool. It's a really hidden reference that they put in there. And it's like, wow, it's very well written. You feel bad.
You do feel horrible for Eliza because it's sort of like she couldn't help herself. And I didn't expect to see her literally burn up the way she did. But it was great seeing the blue lightning and what that signified. And, you know, it gave you much more insight into Zoom and what his problems are. So it does really lead you to believe that, you know, at one point Jay Garrick decided to use Velocity 9, got addicted to it. And it's like I've discussed in other episodes, the whole idea of Jay Garrick trying to find another way because through his addiction, he eventually, you know, messed up his own speed force. So it sort of shows you that Zoom's power is not unlimited, that it will degrade over time.
Yeah. And that's what it's showing right now. And that's when everyone's going, wait, there's blue lightning. So the only other person that had blue lightning was Zoom. So they found out the reason why Zoom is Zoom.
So, you know, they've gotten an answer to that, and it's one of those things where we're still not too sure how they're going to stop Zoom or what they're going to do, but now they're understanding him, and now they're kind of learning where he got things from, how he got to where he's at.
Yeah, and anyways, like, I forgot to mention this, but going back to Eliza, she's a scientist. Even in the comic book, she's a scientist. Now, she gets her powers different from what it is in the series. She gets it from Lex Luthor, which is one of those crazy things. And this is when Lex Luthor was actually a good guy. And he was creating a project which is called Everyman Project. And this is where he pretty much decided to give a bunch of random people superpowers. She was one of them. She was a lab assistant, and they're like, "Well, you want to experiment on this? You be the first one." So that's how she got her powers, and she actually affiliates as a good guy. This one, I like the fact they made her a villain. It's actually pretty cool.
And she was cool, and she was, you know, to an extent, she was playful up until she like lost her mind and was trying to get more Velocity 9. Yeah. Because at the beginning, it sort of felt like the alter ego wasn't necessarily evil, and she wasn't necessarily evil. It just sort of showed how Velocity 9 warped her.
Yeah.
And, you know, it does show you how Zoom could have possibly turned into a villain. While Jay Garrick might have not initially wanted to be as evil as Zoom is, the constant engagement with Velocity 9 sort of turned him into what he is. Mm.
So we learned something, people. Don't do drugs, because you
don't
do drugs.
You turn to a supervillain.
Yeah.
That burns up into blue, which I still think is the most brutal like death you've ever seen in the show, man. Oh, you don't really see people die all too often.
No,
they
don't.
They die like not necessarily off camera, but you just don't see it, or someone goes peacefully, someone just closes their eyes. But her, you saw her disintegrate.
Oh god, that it was horrifying.
And screaming that too as she was burning up, man. That's what I thought was just such a strong image.
Yeah, it just shows that blue signifies death.
Yeah, to an extent, it really does. All right, guys, thank you for listening to this episode of The Flashcast. If you guys want to check out more of the stuff we got going on, head on over to filmbook.com, that's film-book.com, and search for either Steven Bueno or The Flashcast. If you guys are interested in checking out some of the stuff we do outside of Filmbook, you can check us out on YouTube by going to youtube.com/leagueofgents, that's G-E-N-T-S, or checking us out on Facebook by going to facebook.com/leagueofordinarygents, G-E-N-T-S. If you listen to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcast services, go ahead and rate and review this episode. If you listen to this podcast on YouTube, go ahead and hit that thumbs up video and leave a comment in the comment section. We definitely want to hear from you guys.